because there's a little bit of blank tape there. Okay, we're talking about St. Louis Day and the preparations for St. Louis Day. The women made the potato salad, the mayonnaise, cut the cabbage.
Yes.
Okay, you did this the day before.
Yeah.
Okay.
We cooked the
potatoes. What did the men do?
Oh, they went out and butchered the hogs and animals for the meat.
Uh-huh. They would get together and do this?
Yeah, they had to go buy them and get them in and skin them. And
Did the animals come from the people or did they buy
them? They had to buy them.
They had to buy them. Okay, where did they do this killing?
Well, sometimes at, I know in later years at Burroughs Meat Market, but I think they used to, at Albert Hoke's place, I know they did several of the killing the animals there.
Uh-huh. Okay, did they also make the sausage?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did they always make the sausage on Saturday morning?
I think so. As far as I can remember, they had to make them on Saturday.
Well, as long as you can remember back, did they always serve sausage? Was that always part of the meal?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as I can remember, it was always sausage.
Okay. Now, of all the church celebrations we have around here, Castroville always seemed to be the one people came home to, more or less. It was considered a homecoming, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We had Mrs. Breeden and Mrs. Schott to tell us that people would come from Divine and DeHennis and stay with them. You know, this is horse and buggy days. Mm-hmm. Because everybody seemed to want to come. Mm-hmm. Why is it that they wanted to come?
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
The old friends. But you know now, you can't talk to your old friends anymore. They're all working.
All the old friends are working. It's gotten so big, of course. But in the old days,
it's gone out of hand.
Yes. Okay, now when it was small, say when you were young married or so, how do you think about St. Louis Day? What? Just describe the celebration down
there. Well, it was getting bigger and bigger from that time on. After I was married, when Bob and I used to work together, you know, there. It was every year getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Every year. Just build up.
But what do you think people came for to the celebration?
Just because it was a nice day. Just because it was a nice day in Castroville, I guess.
And most people had originally had their roots in Castroville.
Most of them had roots in Castroville, you know. Had lived there sometime.
Okay. Do you think the food had something to do with it?
Oh, I don't know. At the Hennis, they had the Dominicas all the time, and that they served good food there too.
Yeah, but do you have?
That was the same way at the Hennis. They had they used the last flour out of the bin to make cake and stuff, you know, for that celebration.
Well, what I'm trying to establish is, do you think that the people who are Alsatian, did they have a special knack for cooking? Do you think that people would, like in San Antonio, would come out because they thought the food was
I think
was
it
good?
Was mostly an Alsatian custom, you know, for that.
Okay, can you think of any foods? When you think of your mother's cooking, or even your grandmother, if you can think back to your grandmother, Kim, what foods do you think of her fixing that you would say would be Alsatian?
What my grandmother Kemp used to
fix? Laura. What kind of foods did she cook regularly?
On a Sunday, she always cooked the soup.
Yeah.
And we would come in from the farm. You know, we would lift across the river 1 mile. That was the farm. And we'd bring sausage and spare ribs and stuff like that, potatoes and sauerkraut.
Uh-huh. What kind of sweets did she fix in the old days? On the wood stove.
Well, New Year's bread, you know, and cake. Plain cake.
Plain cakes.
Pies. Apple pies and raisin pies. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
What about, did you ever fix the donuts, the filled donuts? Or the
not filled, but the donuts, the deep, fried them in deep fat.
And what did you eat those with?
Oh, with anything. We eat them just donuts.
Well, so many people have told us they eat them with beans. It's just the unsweetened ones
with beans. Those that we rolled in sugar, you know, my mother did. When they come out of the hot grease, you know, they went in the sugar.
Uh-huh.
They were sugared on the outside.
Yeah.
And then they made another thing. We called it strivla.
Strivla?
Strivla. It was like a pancake dough, and they put it in a funnel. They put it in deep grease, you know, and then round, and across and across. And then you got a big, like a pancake, but it was all
fried,
curled up, you know, fried, curled. We call it strivla in Alsatian.
Do you know what that means in English?
Strivla.
Okay, when would she usually fix that strivla?
Usually on a Friday when we had beans.
Oh, uh-huh. What would you eat on Friday? What was a typical meal?
Noodles and beans and prunes.
Prunes
and, or dried peaches or something like that. Dried fruits usually.
Were the dried fruits in those days available from the stores? Is that what you'd get?
Yes, but they come in bulk. Mm-hmm. You bought them by the pound or, you know.
But did you not always get fresh fruit?
Not always. Only mostly during the hot summer months, you know, you couldn't handle. I guess they couldn't handle.
Well, we've been getting descriptions of Christmas trees. And most of them hung oranges and apples on the Christmas tree. Was that a special treat to have the fresh fruit?
I imagine it was, because everybody had candy, canes, stick candy, you know. And apples and oranges and bananas. You couldn't hardly make cola on the trees.
No.
Apples and oranges, we always had them.
What else did you put on your tree then at Christmas?
Well, cookies. My mother always made, I don't know when she made them. We never saw them until we saw them on the Christmas tree, but she made them, I guess, when we slept at night. She had, she didn't even have the cookie cutter. She had them made out of cardboard, you know. She cut them out, and then she laid that cardboard on the dough and cut out the cookies. One was a man, and one was a basket, and one was a cat, you know. And she made it with these anise cookies. They've got real hard.
Yeah.
And then she put this colored sugar on, iced them and put that colored sugar on. And that's what we had on our Christmas tree. Those kind of cookies.
Well, did she allow you then to eat them off the tree?
Yeah, after a few days.
Well, did the children then pick out the ones they wanted and like?
Oh yeah. But they usually stayed on a few days before they let us have them.
Well, what were some of the other things you ate at Christmas that you remember your mother or your grandmother fixing, like any other types of cookies that she made us?
Well, fruit cookies and sugar cookies. That's all I remember. Yeah.
Well, what the fruit cookies, was that just a drop cookie with raisins and things in?
No, my mother always rolled them. And I know they were hard to do with pecans in and raisins, you know, to cut them with the cookie cutter, you know. My mother never baked too much, but she, I know we had those fruit cookies that had nuts and raisins in. And, she made fruit cake. That's all I can remember. Pies, and usually eat on Christmas. We eat other days.
Oh, really? It wasn't that big
at home. You know, we had maybe fried chicken or stuffed chicken or stuffed turkey. We didn't have raised turkeys, but we had mostly chicken. You know. It was always a special day. We usually eat at Grandma's. On that day, Mama would fix it home and we'd take it over there to Grandma.
Oh, really? Was she living by herself, Grandma, at that time?
She lived by herself.
Okay, now I want to go into something completely different. I know you married Bob, as you say, in 1931, and he was a widower at that time with four children?
Yes.
Four children. Well, you were, how did you start courting with Bob?
I don't know, it just happened.
Well, okay, how long had his wife died when you married?
She was dead 3 years.
3 years. Okay, you were pretty brave to take on four children.
Sometimes I think that myself.
Tell me some of your feelings about marrying a widower and how you felt.
I don't think I felt any much different. I thought I could probably make it.
Did your parents, were they opposed to you getting married? No. Okay, now,
You know, my mother was sickly then already, and she wanted me to get married. She said, I didn't want you to stay at home on account of me. You have to look out for yourself.
Did you have any parties before you got married?
No.
No showers?
I had a shower.
You did have a shower? What was a shower like in those days?
Well, your gifts amounted to from about 25 cents to a dollar.
But I mean, like, how many people got together for a shower? How did they hold a shower?
Well, I know my shower was at Florence's house. See, she was married already. Florence and Ulrich were married before we did. And they were her house where she lives now. And there were, I guess, about 20 or 30 people.
Uh-huh. Was it a surprise?
No.
No? Somebody told me they had surprise showers.
Sometimes they did. I knew. They told me beforehand that was going to happen.
And what did they, do you remember, like, what they served at a shower in those days?
Well, cake and punch, as far as I know, or coffee. Uh-huh. Cake and coffee. And they served it there at home, you know.
Okay, where did you get married? Then in St. Louis Church?
Yeah.
And what day and what time? And just tell me about your wedding.
Well, we got married on the 5th of November, 1931, in St. Louis Church, by Father Lenson. And Bob was in the office that time. He was commissioner. And when we come out of church, old Andrew Albergy, he let the anvil off.
Oh, he fired the anvil.
He fired the anvil.
So that was a pretty special occasion then. Oh.
Yeah.
Did he do it over at the blacksmith shop at my grandpa's?
No, it was up there where the Legion Hall is now.
Yeah, where Andrew's blacksmith shop was. Okay. Yeah. I still remember Andy. All
yeah.
So he fired the anvil for you.
Yeah. And then we had a little breakfast at home, and then we got in the old Model A and drove from Forest Laredo and into Mexico.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was our honeymoon.
Was that the first time you'd been down to Mexico?
Yeah.
Was Bob quite a little bit older than you then?
7 years.
Oh, that wasn't too much. How long were you gone on a honeymoon?
Oh, we had to be back because he had to be at the commissioner's.
Had to go to work.
We married on a Thursday. We picked a special day. We married, not on Tuesday, we married on Thursday.
Now, how did you get out of marrying on Tuesday?
I don't know.
Everybody got married on Tuesday.
And, no, we married on Thursday, and Roy went to the seminary but just before we got married, and he wasn't there. Roy couldn't be there, you know, when we got married. The other kids were, and that was the first visit we made when we come back. We went to the seminary and visited with Roy.
Oh. So then, after you came back from your honeymoon, where did you set up housekeeping?
In that building by the convent.
The two-story priest house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and did you have any special parties or anything? Because
no, we had a chivalry then about 3 days later.
Okay, you had a chivalry. What was a chivalry?
Well, they just come after it got dark, and they had all kinds of noisemakers and bells and whistles and stuff, and they wanted something to drink, of course.
Now,
that's what they were waiting for.
Who were they?
Well, the guys that started, I really don't know who all was there. They were mostly men, you know.
Uh-huh.
His friends. Well, some of them drank till they had too much to drink.
Okay, what was the custom of the chivalry? Was it for people who married the second time?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. What they came and made noise outside your door. Did you know they were coming beforehand?
Yes, we knew they were coming. We expected them.
You expect them. So it was a custom that was always
well,
done.
Well, they were telling Bob before, you know, you can get a chivalry.
Uh-huh. So you were kind of expecting. So what did you do to kind of prepare? If you knew they were coming, what did you do?
Well, I didn't do anything. He prepared with wine and whiskey and stuff, you know.
Just got a bunch of stuff to drink.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
What did you have to serve food to?
No.
Just something to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did they come into the house and have a party? Or
no. They mostly stayed outside. Some of them came in the house. Look, Raymond Haby, you knew him.
Yes.
Yeah, Raymond Haby, he was a good friend of Bob's, and Raymond and Wilfred and a few of them. They came in with their wine. They had homemade wine, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, but who all was outside? I don't know. It was dark, you know. You didn't see him. But Bob was outside with me. He passed the bottle around.
Uh-huh.
And, they kept it up till about midnight, at least Father Manson says, it was just a little too long.
So the priest didn't approve too much. Well, when they did this, did they bring gifts to you?
No.
It was just to make the groom pay up or serve their friends some drinks.
Yeah.
Well, this chivalry seems to be an old, old custom. Do you remember chivalries when you were littler or even smaller?
Well, they always said widowers, you know, they got chivalry, but not all of them got it, you know, but we did.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was mostly because he was an officer at that time, you know.
Uh-huh.
He was a commissioner.
Okay, what did you call the chivalry? How did they say this in the old days?
Shoddy body.
A shoddy body.
Uh-huh.
That's Alsatian for chivalry.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, also, before you married, did you have a hope chest?
I had some things made up.
It wasn't just a custom for girls to do this?
Yeah, well, girls did that all the time, you know. Before they were married, they made something. They saved it until they got married.
Uh-huh.
I made a lot of stuff and I'd give it away.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't get married so young, you know. And I had pillowcases and that I still have.
Okay, I'm going to do it in a little bit different way. Okay, in talking about making pillowcases and handwork, what did the ladies of the parish do for St. Louis Day in regards to handwork in the early days? Just tell me what you told me.
They served the meals.
Uh-huh.
They had to serve the meals.
Yeah, but then you were saying they made handwork? Just tell me again, because we didn't have the
report
on. Yeah,
they made handwork and crocheting, you know, and embroidering.
Uh-huh.
And things like that. I don't remember whether they had quilts, maybe one or two.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go out for quilts those days so much like they do now. And
it's probably because they made their own quilts themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so nowadays it's something people really want.
Yeah. And then they sold it. But that didn't last very long. They started with that Kino right away. Kino. All right. Now it's Bingo.
Yes. And so then they used that handwork for prizes.
Yes, right.
And it was really
a regular game.
Yeah, and people really wanted that, those kind of prizes. Yeah.
They still want it now. They're coming back to that stuff. They want embroidered stuff again.
Yeah. Okay, now besides the Kino and the meal, what other kind of activities went on during the day at St. Louis Day in the afternoon?
Ball game.
The ball games. So that would be between visiting teams. Huh?
Yes. And the young folks, most of them go to the ball game, you know, and the men folks, the women would sit around and talk.
Okay. Now, when you were a young girl, how did you think of St. Louis Day? Did you look forward to it? Was it a special thing to you?
Oh, yes. It was a big, big day. That was our biggest day ever.
Your biggest day?
Always in Castroville.
Uh-huh.
The biggest.
Well, to a young girl, what did it mean? Can you remember how you felt? Like, was it a time to meet boys and that kind of thing?
Well, not as much as it is now, I don't think. We knew we were going to go to dances and meet, you know.
Uh-huh.
And meet with different people and different boys. But we got a new dress, I know that.
Oh, really?
I had a new dress.
Uh-huh. And, but it was the biggest day for you in Castroville.
Really was.
It really was. Did you have relatives come from out of town to stay with you?
Oh, yes. My aunt from San Antonio. The Borges, they always made it.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. What type of dances were held when you were growing up? What kind of music did you have?
Well, they didn't have this loud music they have now. For one, we'd all be deaf.
Mostly a violin, a piano, and a guitar, maybe.
Uh-huh. Was that old-time music then?
Yeah. Old Man Arts used to play. He had a big, I don't know what they call it. It was a string thing.
And he bass fiddle? Bullhorn? No, what they call it?
Bass fiddle? It looked like a harp.
Yeah. No. Uh-huh. Old Man. And then they have the piano and the violin.
Was he the most famous orchestra?
He was. They always had arts orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, there was they had an orchestra of their own. There, Alfred Schmidt played the piano, and Alfred Green the violin. And I don't know who. For a lot of dances, you know, they just had the piano and the violin and the guitar.
Uh-huh.
No, Alfred Green played the violin, and Alfred Schmidt played the piano.
I never heard of that one. Now, oh, yeah. I heard of the Grove Brothers.
Well, they had flute and a violin, Grove Brothers.
Uh-huh. Okay, you said at one time there were 3 dance halls in Castro. Did they have dances all on the same night ever?
Usually.
Well,
some of them would have nobody, and the crowd went where the crowd went, you know. Uh-huh. It was a hassle sometimes.
You didn't know where to go, huh?
They didn't know where to go. And
okay,
you know,
was
they,
it? Was
they
the
got
music?
Mad at each other because one had the crowd and the other one didn't.
Well, that's business. Do you remember the dances at Trackcasters?
Yeah.
Okay, were they any different from the others?
No. Just about the same. You know, the girls would sit around, you know, and the boys would go ask them to dance.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't sit at tables, you know.
Okay, what about the type of music that was played there? Was it any different?
Waltzes mostly, and 2 steps, 1 step. Uh-huh. 1 step and 2 step.
Okay, do you remember that they had bands like Jimmy Klein? There were more modern dances. Jimmy Klein, no?
Really don't know who the...
Well, someone said that at Trackcasters you had to be a little more dressed up. The men had to wear suits. They wouldn't let you in.
Without suits.
Without
well,
suits.
Maybe some of the dances, you know, like on Christmas or Easter. Maybe on St. Louis Day. Well, they usually never had the dances but on those days.
Uh-huh.
They weren't dances every Saturday night like they are now. Mm-hmm. And then on St. Louis Day, they always had 2 dances, 2 nights.
Mm-hmm. Like and St. Louis Day was held on the day of the 25th.
And the 26th.
And the 26th.
I know we used to ask each other, are you going on the 25th or on the 26th? And most of them went to both of them.
Both of them. Well, when did that stop about,
adding
the 2 days? I know in the early 1900s it was still 2 days. You see, when you remembered it was 2 days.
2 days. I can still remember when it was 2 days.
2 days, uh-huh. Well, I think that would have been pretty late then. Into the 1900s. Well, I believe that is about all I can think of. I thank you for letting me talk to you this afternoon, Miss Reed.